Arts Connection, the intersection of faith and the arts in Canadian culture, with your host, Robert White. Now, here's Robert.
Welcome to Arts Connection for Thursday, August 16th, 2012. Tonight's music takes us in a little bit of a different direction than usual. You were listening to the title track from the CD Spirit Wings from Room 217 Foundation. Started by tonight's guest, musician Bev Foster, Room 217 provides therapeutic music resources designed to, quote, create a pathway of soothing comfort through life's transitions, end quote. Bev's on the phone with us from Room 217 office in Port Perry to talk with us about it and its ministry. Good evening, Bev.
Hi there, Robert.
How are you doing?
Great, thank you.
Good. Now, I'm looking at your biography on the Room 217 website, and it describes you as an experienced performer, songwriter, and music educator. You've taught in schools, you've taught privately, you've led the Ontario Vocal Festival, you're accompanist for the Orpheus Choir of Toronto, and now you're the executive director of Room 217 Foundation. Let's go back to the beginning. How did you get started in music?
Well, I come from a family that loves music, and so for sure it started in my home, and had parents who encouraged that. Then I was really privileged to be in schools that encouraged music as well, and I just jumped into the programs and learned a lot that way. I've always been involved in my local church, wherever I've been in music, so I guess it was just sort of a really natural progression. And then I went to study music after high school and became a music educator, teaching in schools, as you said, and also I've always had a private studio.
So how did you get to the point where you kind of decided that music is where you're going to go, even as a teacher, as an educator, as a performer, as a private teacher, and that? What sort of was the defining point that says, this is the direction that I'm taking?
Probably the love for it. And very much so when I was 17, I knew I wanted to teach and loved music. And so I just really had a sense of call into the whole teaching place. But, I mean, teaching is pretty broad, so it has different forms and formats and contexts. And certainly been in the schoolroom context and been in the private studio context, and much of what we do now in Room 217, believe it or not, is just another context for music education.
Mm-hmm. Now, who were your musical influences when you were starting out?
I would have to say I've come from a bit more of a classical mm-hmm. perspective. That's for sure where I love that music. But, you know, I was a teenager growing up in the church and had lots of musical influences there as well. And also at school, different jazz artists and pop artists.
When you were looking and going through the whole classical training and that, was there any one composer that you sort of leaned towards than any other?
I love Brahms. I really enjoy playing Brahms.
And what attracted you to his music?
I really love the rhythmic complexities, love the passionate melodies, and the angst in his music.
Now, looking at currently, and I mean, I'm looking at some of the titles that are out there on the Room 217 Foundation material on that, and there's a broad range of music and music styles that are out there. Who would you say are some of your current influences musically?
Me personally?
Yeah.
Do you mean influencing Room 217 or me personally?
You personally.
I really like Radiohead. I have four kids, too, so they keep me in the loop of what's going on
right.
in the alternative world.
Uh-huh.
And so I've learned to really enjoy some of the more alternative stuff in their world. In terms of how it influences Room 217, that's really another whole story. And it doesn't necessarily come from my own personal preferences.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, we can talk about that in a couple of minutes. Just one further question, giving our listeners a little bit of an idea of you in the background, which will lead into what's happening with Room 217, is you've taught, you've directed, you've composed, you've performed. Is there any one aspect of all of this that you prefer over the other?
I'm really a teacher first and foremost, I think.
And what keeps you wanting? What keeps you in that mode of wanting to teach? What is it about teaching that drives you?
I love when the light goes on and when people see truth and see how it applies in their context and in for music especially how it can just understanding how music works and how it can work in their situation for them, how it can sort of set them in a new course, in a new direction, it can free up, it can, especially when you're teaching kids or adults technique and just watching how that can free them up to express themselves. It's probably what I love the most is just how music and teaching people how to do music can help them express themselves.
Now, did you have that experience yourself when you were learning music?
Oh, yeah. Yep, all through.
Well, what we need to do is take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll continue our conversation with Bev Foster from the Room 217 Foundation. I'm your host, Robert White, and you're listening to Arts Connection on Faith FM, your inspiration station.
Child, rest.
Welcome back to Arts Connection. You've been listening to Peace Chant from the Room 217 CD Spirit Wings. I'm your host, Robert White, and we're going to continue our conversation with Room 217 founder, executive director, Bev Foster. Bev, let's go back to, I guess, the beginning of Room 217 and that. And when did you first sort of discover that healing aspect of music?
As a teenager, I would make recordings for people, my friends, family, who were sick often. I know a lot of people make cookies or pies or that sort of thing and take them over, but for me, I made music, and at that time it was making cassette tapes in a fairly crude fashion, I would also suggest, in terms of just sort of playing something and clicking it off and then recording the next thing. So really kind of homemade and homespun. But even then, I could see and experience with my friends and family how music could accompany a person and be present when they were feeling low, feeling not well, and in a couple of experiences, even as a teenager when they were dying.
Now, looking at that, were those songs that you had composed yourself, or was that music that you were pulling from other sources? What were you including on those cassettes?
It would be favorites. So in some occasions I'd ask them, you know, what kind of music would you like me to play? And other times I just would do like a composite of maybe, you know, some classical music or pop music or hymns, that sort of thing, depending on who it was.
Now, it sounds like you've had a variation in your styles. Are you fairly eclectic in the type of music that you listen to yourself?
Yes.
And how has that sort of influenced you in terms of the type of things you're doing with Room 217?
Well, I think that music is a doorway into a place, into a space. And just because I prefer one kind of music, you can't assume another person prefers the same kind of music. And certainly that's just having experience in a number of genres and styles, and my own personal eclectic taste helps in this, because certainly for Room 217, we're using familiar music. We want people to be accompanied in the places they're in when they're using Room 217, and surrounded by the familiar, surrounded by something that would bring them comfort, perhaps memories, perhaps an opportunity for even completing relationships through music. And so I think that when you can sort of cross a number of styles and appreciate other genres, then there's more opportunity for the listener to use the music as an experience for healing.
Well, looking at all of that and that the whole aspect of the eclectic style of music and how all of that pulls together, I mean, I'm just looking at Spirit Wings itself, and you know, your first three songs are You'll Never Walk Alone, Abide With Me, and On Eagle's Wings. You know, three pieces of music that are coming from three different areas of life. Is that something that you find really helps with getting people to understand and where Room 217 is going?
Well, let's look at those three pieces. I mean, sure, the styles are very different, and where they come from are very different. Time zones are very different. Contexts are very different. But it's the universal theme that's the same, right? It's the fact that, you know, you find yourself in this situation, and in our context, we're really providing resources for people who are dying in their families. So, you know, for example, in that context, you've got the theme that you're not in this, you're not going to walk through this alone. And even if the person, for example, is in a room or a facility on their own, if they're listening to the music, we would hope that they're not on their own. Mm-hmm. The music and the voice and just the experience of listening to the music accompanies them. Abide With Me, you know, this definitely comes from a Christian context, and we're saying here that God, you know, is going to sort of be in this place, even in the evening time, and we know that in the evening time is often when people are the most afraid to be alone. And then on Eagle's Wings, He will carry you. You know, He'll hold you up. Mm-hmm. And those themes kind of draw the genres together. And certainly, the way we do Room 217, the way we produce it, we have not only therapeutic values that we produce this music on, but also artistic values. So we, for example, we record the music, and we record every album live. Nothing is sort of downloaded from somewhere else, mm-hmm. at 60 beats per minute, with instrumental or vocals. Everything is live off the floor, acoustically performed. And so even with those kinds of production principles and values, using that kind of thematic material creates a space for this music to really seep into spaces and rooms, allowing it to sink in to the places that are hard to get to, and even medically hard to get to.
Mm-hmm. I just want to step back just a little bit from that aspect and give people a bit of an idea of what led to Room 217. How did this all get started?
Well, I told you about what I did in my teenage years. So, I mean, yep. I think there was already sort of a sense from me anyway of responding to people with music. Really, the catalyst for this was when my own dad was dying of a terminal illness. And over that 18 months, music became the means by which we connected. I mean, we'd always connected around music. When I was growing up, he and I would play piano and organ every Sunday afternoon. We'd just play for, you know, an hour or so, songs, hymns, and it was part of our relationship. But, you know, it became a really natural and sort of, for me, the way to respond to his illness and an impending death as well, using music to support him and comfort him. And really, that was a catalyst. When he was in the hospital, and he was for a number of nights over those 18 months, we observed, and I personally observed, there was never music offered to him. And he was in large facilities in the Toronto area. So it was just an observation that maybe there weren't resources appropriate. Certainly as caregivers, even though we were from a musical family, as a caregiver, you're just doing so many other things, supporting mom, traveling, making sure the medications are right, and, you know, leading our own lives with our own families as well. So what I really sensed there may be a gap, even in terms of resources available for families like ours in this situation. Perhaps, too, there was a gap in healthcare professionals even knowing how to use music and integrating it into their care, which is a very cost-effective kind of procedure and intervention. So I would say that through Dad's, the experience of Dad in facilities, plus my own experience with him doing music, and certainly at the end, my family was all around the bedside singing the same songs that he and I had played for years. So it was a very moving experience for me, certainly life-altering, and I remember walking out of Room 217 in the Exbridge Hospital that night when I said goodbye to Dad for the last time, and just felt compelled to take what I'd been doing, you know, kind of in the homemade sort of way, to another level, to make mm-hmm. it, you know, commercially viable, but also to create something that would be more universal for more people and be helpful for families in our situation.
Well, I think we need to take one more break, and when we do, after we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about how you're actually doing this in a much broader context with a conference that's coming up. We're going to take this break, and we'll come back and finish our conversation with Room 217 Foundation Executive Director Bev Foster. I'm your host, Robert White, and you're listening to Arts Connection on Faith FM, your inspiration station. Welcome back to Arts Connection. You've been listening to All Through the Night from the Room 217 CD Spirit Wings. I'm your host, Robert White, and we're going to wrap up our conversation with Bev Foster from the Room 217 Foundation. Well, just before I went to break, we were talking about sort of the start of Room 217 and how you decided to take what you had been doing sort of as a gift to people just as an individual, and now broadening that and making it a lot broader and available for a lot more people so that they got the benefit of what you were doing. And one of the things that you're doing now is a music care conference in November that's going to look at this whole topic in a much broader perspective. Can you tell us a little bit about what's going on?
Sure. In terms of the Room 217 Foundation, really our mission is about helping people and providing care through music. We do it through providing these tangible resources, like the music you've just been playing. We're just working on our 12th album, so there are 12 albums, two sets, which are very tangible resources people can use in their homes, in their long-term care facilities, as part of ministries and churches, put in libraries, that sort of thing. But perhaps what we've learned is, and what we know to be true, is that music is a much bigger conversation than just about CDs, and we need to actually be helping people understand how to contextualize the music and how to use the music and integrate it into their own care practice. And so this is what, for the last several years we've been actually speaking at conferences, speaking in local community events and that sort of thing. And a couple of years ago we started our own conference called the Music Care Conference. And our hope here is to bring what we call music care stakeholders, so people who have some interest in using music in their care. It might be a nurse, it might be a music therapist who sort of a totally vested interest in it, could be a social worker, could be a pastoral care person, it may be a family member. But people who really want to learn more about how to use music in situations of care. There are general, therapeutic principles of music that are helpful. So our conferences are taking, we want the conversation to be happening across the fabric of our neighborhoods. How do we use music in situations of care and use it to come alongside people for whatever sort of situation of, it may be well-being, we may want to enhance health and well-being, or we may be looking at very specific things like end of life. Mm-hmm. So we're excited to be holding our fourth conference at the University of Toronto this coming November the 10th. And we're we bring in marvelous speakers, world-class speakers. We have Dr. Connie Tomeno from New York coming in, who's a leading expert in music and Alzheimer's care and Parkinson's disease. She'll be a keynote, as well as Deborah Salmon, a palliative music therapist from Montreal, who is going to be talking about whole person care at the end of life. As well, there are workshops. We have a number of different workshops that would cater to people's interest. And we will end the day off with musician Amy Sky coming to share her story. As well, we have we're going to open the day. It's just a brilliant opening with two performers coming from the Bloor View Children's Rehab Center, who are using the virtual music instrument, and how they, with loss of limbs, are able to still make music. So it's going to be a really wonderful day. I would encourage anybody who's interested in integrating music into their care. They don't have to even be a professional caregiver. They could be a family caregiver or a volunteer caregiver, a teacher, somebody who works with people, and you want to integrate music into your practice. Check out the conference. You can check out our website, www.room217.ca, and just click onto the conference, and all the details are there, the registration, etc.
Wow, and you just answered all the questions that I had for me.
Okay.
But looking at that and some of the broadness of that, and we just quickly got a minute here, I'm seeing that it's not just, I think when people think about music and music for healing, and they're thinking of, in a lot of cases, end-of-life issues, but you mentioned Alzheimer's. So this is something that could be used for someone who's dealing with a parent who has dementia or Alzheimer's issues.
And Robert, that issue is really becoming a much, it's just a much more, I would say it's going to be a high needs kind of issue over the next decade in our country for sure. Interestingly enough, the song you played all through the night, this is the other factor, I guess you could say, in leading me to room 217, but my grandmother had dementia, and I was very much part of her caregiving. She lived here in Port Perry and was able to be with her often, weekly. And when she died, just 2 years after my dad died, we had just done the demo of our first room 217, Spirit Wings, and she actually died all through the night, the one you just played.
Wow.
And she took her last breath on the last cadence of the last song. So you can't tell me, even though she had, you know, severe cognitive impairment, that she didn't know what she was doing. She wasn't talking to us, and at the end, it was just an incredible experience, and again, is one that has informed all that we're doing.
Wow. Well, Bev, thank you very much for your time tonight.
Oh, it's my pleasure, and thank you.
And thank you for listening to Arts Connection today. Thank you to my guest, Bev Foster. Be sure to tune in next week for another look at where faith, arts, and Canadian culture meet. For more information on Arts Connection, email robert@selawministries, that's S-E-L-A-W ministries.ca, or follow us on Twitter at selaw13, S-E-L-A-W-13. For Arts Connection, I'm your host, Robert White, saying good day and God bless.
You've been listening to Arts Connection, a production of Selav Ministries. Be sure to tune in again next Thursday evening at 10, right here on Faith FM.